Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Van Halen bringing us back there. We're jumping into our show here at 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Tamar Jacoby is here, too, because she's our good friend and one of those really smart members of our brain trust I was telling you about earlier in the show. She is the president of Immigration Works USA. She's the editor of Reinventing the Melting Pot, The New Immigrants and What It Means to Be American. That's the title of that book. And she's our good friend, Tamar Jacoby. Welcome back to the show.
Nice to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Folks, as I said, Tamar is one of the world's experts on immigration policy, especially with regard to the United States. And Tamar, it looks like, from everything I can see, it looks like we're about to have our second presumptive nominee in the race. Does it look like by the end of the day Obama will be the presumptive nominee?
I think you're right.
And is that the proper term to use, or maybe the apparent nominee? But I think maybe we're very close to. I mean, frankly, between you and me, I hope Ms. Clinton, Senator Clinton, continues to fight. I like the fight in her. I actually admire her fight. Yeah. And you got to admire that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But I think it's I think it's time to get serious for the two of them to focus. I think people are getting kind of tired of the Clinton Obama.
Well, they've been tired of the Clinton, and they've been tired of the Clintons for a long time. They just wouldn't admit. A lot of people just wouldn't admit it. But my point, I tell you, she's got an argument though, Tamar, because she's won states that the Democrats are going to have will be required to win if they're going to win the election in November, and he has not won those states.
No, I understand that, but I'm not an Obama fan by any stretch, but if she can't win the nomination at a certain point, the fighting. I mean, you know, if you're
right.
If you want the Republicans to win, the longer they go on fighting, the better, I suppose.
No, I agree. No, they're a pretty narcissistic couple, and they're going to do what's in the best interest of themselves, I think. But I think they've proven that. That's not me putting them down. I mean, I think the record shows what they're capable of. But still, it's awfully close. I mean, it really is a close election. And I kind of agree with her. I mean, even though she may have said it in a rude way, there's a lot of things that could happen between now and August, and I don't blame her for not getting out. I probably would be fighting for it just as hard as she is, but be that as it may, and I know you want to move over in a little bit and talk about the states, some of the states are doing about immigration. But before we do, while we're on this national issue, give us what you think is the primary difference, if anything, between Senator McCain's position on immigration and Senator Obama's position on immigration.
There's no difference on paper. They voted the same way, you know, as far back as anybody's been tracing it. I think a Republican from a border state would be in a better position to get comprehensive reform done, in the same, you know, on the kind of theory of Nixon goes to China, and
yeah.
that we're going to need even if Democrats win very strong majorities in the House and Senate,
which I expect them to do.
Yes, indeed, but they're not going to want to do immigration reform alone, and. Even if they could do it alone, they wouldn't do it in such a way that would be good for business. So
yeah.
we're gonna need Republicans to be part of it, at least some small cadre of Republicans, and we're gonna want Republicans to be part of it. And for Republicans to be part of it, it would help to have a Republican president from border state. He'd be the best.
Well, wasn't he a little bit at cross purposes with his own state in the last year or so?
Well, Arizona's Arizona is the hotbed of the fight over immigration. And sure, you know, McCain has been out there pushing for reform for a long time.
McCain-Feingold, for example.
McCain-Kennedy is the immigration bill.
The education bill,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But and he has more passion for it. Obama... McCain was at the center of the push for comprehensive immigration reform. Obama was on the edges of it. So, mm-hmm. you know, on paper, their positions are similar. In fact, I think McCain is more likely to do it and do it sooner and cares more about it. But I don't expect it to be a big issue in the election. I think they're going to want to avoid it. And if they can't avoid it, they're going to want to kind of straddle on it. Because you can't really win. If you tilt too far in favor of it on the campaign trail, you lose what I call the Bubba vote. And if you tilt too far against, you lose the Latino vote.
Right.
So they're both in a bit of a bind over it on the campaign trail. And I don't expect it to be a significant issue at the presidential level.
And thank you for correcting me. I did not mean to say McCain-Feingold. I meant to say the McCain Kennedy, or some people say the Kennedy McCain. So it's going to be very interesting. You know, here's another thing though, quickly, and I know this is off the immigration thing. My friend Myron Ebel with CEI, Competitive Enterprise Institute, says in with regard to cap and trade, the carbon emissions bill debate, he says mm-hmm. there's not a nickel's worth of difference between McCain and Obama either.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Now here you are saying there's not much difference between the two of them on immigration. What are we voting on? Why should we go to the polls in November?
I think we're voting on a lot of things. I think we're voting on foreign policy for one thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm as happy about this side of it, but you know, McCain has a different approach to some social issues.
Yeah.
He has a different base that he has to keep happy too. And I don't think Obama is the centrist. I think McCain is a genuine maverick and centrist. I don't think Obama is a genuine centrist. I agree with that.
But the things that we're just talking about are dangerous for Obama because if you can't tell that much difference, you know, that's gonna cause those independents, I think, to move toward McCain and not Obama. Tamar, give us your website, please.
It's immigrationworksusa.org.
Immigrationworksusa.org, and tell us what we'll find when we get there.
We're a federation of business coalitions in favor of immigration reform.
Go ahead.
What I'm trying to do is organize the business coalition that was missing, the business constituency that was missing in the last fight for immigration reform.
And when we come back, she's going to tell us how she's doing that. We're going to talk about what's going on in the states. Are they incubators for what we should be seeing in the future? Little Marshall Tucker bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find a show and all the different things that we do here, the articles, the Brain Trust members, the newsletter, the blog, etc., etc. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers right now. So check those out, smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. No barrier to entry if you can get there. We'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Tamar Jacoby is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of Immigration Works USA, and that's with a .org on the end. That's how they get the website, right?
Tamar? Yes, sir.
ImmigrationWorksUSA.org. And Tamar, thank you for helping us understand a little bit more, and you're going to be coming back in the months ahead as we get closer and closer to the election and the campaigns are crystallizing, to help us sort through the immigration issues of the two candidates. But you've been also looking around in the states out to see what the states have been doing about immigration. Why do the states matter on immigration?
Well, because the battle has shifted there since last year when Congress failed to fix the system. States have rushed into the vacuum, and mostly for the bad, states are have decided, well, if the feds can't do anything about it, we're going to try to enforce the law. Now, of course, the states can't fix it because the states can't give us a pipeline for more workers, for the workers we need to come legally. All they can do is try to enforce the unrealistic quotas that we have, but states have a number of states have tried to legislate new enforcement mechanisms, mostly to crack down. And what's interesting, what's going on in the states is the good news in this is the response has been that small businesses and medium-sized businesses that need immigrant workers in the states that have tried to crack down have come together in coalitions to resist. And what's good about that is we're not going to win the battle to change the system unless more of the businesses who need the workers get involved politically.
Which is exactly why I'm giving this topic airtime on a regular basis and one of the many reasons why you're our friend, Tamar, because we've got to get involved in this. You've heard me say this before, and I'm not the first one to say it. If you don't get involved in the public policy that affects your small business, all you can do is take what others give you, and those people can expect that you don't really care because you haven't gotten involved. And we can't do that. We got to get involved, and there are a lot of different ways you can do that. You can do it directly. You can do it by calling your congressmen and senators, congresswomen, women and senators. You can join your chamber of commerce and be part of the debate from that level. You can join your national and state trade groups. There are a lot of ways you can do it without having to quit your day job.
Well, and you can be part of Immigration Works. That's exactly what we are.
Another,
we're trying to build the army of folks who will be active on this, because your trade association and the chamber have a lot of issues. If what you care about in particular is immigration, we're the place. But you know, if I had to have another meeting with a member of Congress, I've been to dozens where they say to me about immigration, I get it. And what they mean is they go on to say, I have a construction boom, or I have resorts, or I have agriculture in my district. I know you need the workers. I know it's better if those workers were legal, but I can't vote the way my common sense is telling me to vote because nobody in my district is standing up and giving me the political support. And there are a lot of people standing up and urging me to do the other thing.
So what is, in your opinion, what is the best way for them to vote? What needs to be done?
We need a system. The American economy and a few sectors of it in particular depend on immigrant workers now, because Americans are getting more and more educated. Americans
lazier.
Don't want to work in the fields.
Getting lazier.
They don't want to do hard physical work of any kind, and it's
right.
I mean, I think it's mostly about education. I don't have to, call anybody names, but
that's my job.
The point is, we need those workers not just to do those jobs, but because when you grow a business, because you have those workers, that creates work for other people up and down the economic food chain. So we need those workers. Supply and demand is delivering those workers to us from other countries, but they're not coming legally. So we need a system that gives us a legal flow of the workers who are now.
We need a system that's based in reality, not in some kind of Never Never Land, Alice in Wonderland, Never Never Land, or in some kind of in some place where there's a river that runs through it called denial.
Exactly. I mean, what we're doing now is that we're trying to use our law to fight the dynamism of the world economy and the dynamism of our own economy, and that doesn't work. So let's recognize our need for these workers and how they're the fuel of our economic growth. And two-thirds of the economic growth in the last decade has been made possible because of these workers.
America's
not creating new workers.
For the last 10.5 years, I've been doing everything I can do to get small business owners to realize that they're in the 21st century. Even the 20th century, I was telling them, you're in the 21st century. Bring your business into the 21st century. You've got to operate it like you're in the 21st century, not the 20th century. Our government still doesn't get that.
Right.
They still operate our tax policies, our immigration policies, our health care policies. So much of what we're doing today is modeled, it hasn't changed from the 20th century, and that won't work.
Right. No, that's exactly right.
And that's what you're talking about when you're saying...
Immigration is Exhibit A of that.
That's
Exhibit
exactly A. Right. I agree. Okay, the website, folks, immigrationworksusa.org. You need to go check that out. Get involved. Join Tamar's organization. It's a good one. If Tamar's involved, it's great. Thank you, Tamar, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you. Thank you.
See you next time. Quick break. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.